This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shawning and Philip. The severe flooding that happened more than a week ago has taken away lives, livelihoods, and homes. But after barely recovering from that yesterday, the Malaysia's Drainage and Irrigation Department from the Ministry of Environment and Water said that several areas in Kelantan and Terengganu are expected to be flooded in the next few days.
And yesterday, after a heavy rain in the afternoon, Kajang Town was hit by flash floods again. So the reality is extreme weather patterns caused by climate change could cause floods to happen more frequently. So how can the physical landscape of a city or urban area be planned properly for better peace of mind every time it starts to rain?
On the importance of town planning, we speak to Datin Nuraida Saludin, president of the Malaysian Institute of Planners. Good morning, Datin Nuraida. Thanks for joining us. Now, many say that the current flash floods could be attributed to recent landslides and debris that blocked the flow of the river. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me here this morning. Yeah, I think that's not really a fair assessment. This is taking it a bit too simplistic view of a complex situation and a series of events. There are several factors that should be considered. The first is the abnormal rainfall due to shifting wind conditions in the South China Sea, which in turn was influenced by the weather condition around the Earth. And then the amount of rainfall far exceeded what has been experienced in living memory. Some people call it a 100-year event, or the engineers term it as average return interval or return period. And that is what you say in simpler terms, a severe rainfall event like the, that happened once or twice in a person's lifetime, because it's a 100-year event. So this information is used to decide in the design of infrastructure, such as dam, and to draw up the mitigation plans in the emergency response plan, even to develop or formulate a drainage master plan for a wider area. And then what we need to consider also is the tide cycle along the seashore, whether it's high or low, peak or normal tide, and where the rainwater will finally be drained out. Yeah, that's where the location, the rainwater will be drained out. And we have had a high tide period during the last 12 days when the first episode appeared that affected, for example, Taman Sri Muda. And then we need to look at the condition of the river itself, where all the rainwater from cities, or from township, from neighborhoods will be drained into. It's common knowledge that our rivers are blocked. There's a lot of debris upstream, or there's an obstruction downstream that can then make things worse when these natural breaks happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also need to consider the factor of the ground condition or the soil condition due to heavy rain that have been falling days or weeks earlier. The forest, for example, especially the catchment areas, the groundwater levels in the underground aquifers, for example, they may already have been soaked with water already, which then loosen the soil that contribute to the slope failures.
Okay.
And I think then the last point is that we also need to consider the rate of the runoff into the river. How fast the rainwater fall into the ground and then goes into the river.
Okay.
And how fast the water in the river flow outside, which already been already blocked at the tidal at the area, right? Because of the high tide.
So that thing
there's a lot of factors that tie together.
So I think you talk about many factors. Many factors are perhaps out of control. But I want to get your thoughts now about talking about how we can mitigate and manage this, right? What do you think about the urban planning around these flood-affected areas, you know, particularly Sri Muda? Because you mentioned that a lot of things are kind of out of our control, but perhaps the planning, the way we plan our location and community could help us address some of these gaps, right? So that we don't see these extreme weather events really adversely affect us so much.
So we always say that there's intervention to the natural system, right? And if we look at Malaysia, we have lots of river basins, right? And the planning, in terms of planning, it involves a whole lot of professionals. And factors considered, one of the factors considered in the planning is the river basin management, the river basin planning, which the drainage and irrigation department have had their what is called Integrated River Basin Management Plan, or IRBM. Yep. So we've been developing in floodplains all over the country. So some people say this is because of unplanned or uncontrolled or unplanned development. Actually, all development needs planning permission, under the Town and Country Planning Act. If it doesn't have a planning permission, then it means it's illegal.
But Datin, I'm curious, do you think it's time to revise these town and planning rules currently to reflect the current situation where we are going to see more and more erratic weather patterns?
Yeah. So I think what's important is that we should not simply be talking about extreme weather event that take place. We should ask ourselves why these extreme weather events are happening and what we can do about it. This is not something that we don't already know, but something that we often ignore. Climate change is here.
Okay.
In fact, it is already climate emergency. I think the 2 years back, or United Nations or UN Habitat have already mentioned that it is already a climate emergency. We may not be able to avert or mitigate the magnitude of flood we experienced just over a week ago, but we can deal a bit more holistically.
Right. Yeah, I think I get your point about the holistic management of this, and I know we are in a climate emergency, but my question then is, you also said earlier on that there was also quite a lot of debris and blockage in the river system. So I want to dig deeper to this whole point about our drainage system, right? We see blocked drainages seeming to become an increasingly significant problem. What can we do immediately to address our drainage systems here? Because it seems to be part and parcel of the symptom to why we are seeing these excessive floods, no?
There are different conditions. If we look at in the condition in Klang Valley, for example, because Shahlam, Ulu Langat, we are not along the shoreline. Unlike cities in that experience flooding every year, Kuala Terengganu, Kota Baru, Kuantan, and cities that are by the riverside. And first and foremost is, of course, to look at the bigger picture of the whole river system. Yeah, to understand the whole nature of it, and that is already factored in every time urban development is being considered. Yeah, and it's part of the whole process where you have the engineers looking at and coming out with the drainage consideration for the particular development, for example. However, I think we need to look at and take a more holistic integrated river basin management plan a bit more seriously. We have actually IRBM has been prepared for at least, I think if I'm not mistaken, about 25 river basins in Malaysia. And they are currently just a guidelines. Yeah, we need to give our IRBM plan stronger legal backing, because, for example, at the moment they are prepared by GPS, as a guideline. They didn't have the legal backing.
Dati Noreda, I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to stop you there because we are running out of time. But thank you very much for giving us your insight into just the amount of detail that goes into this urban town planning and giving us some thoughts on areas that we need to pay attention to. That was Dati Noreda Saludin, president of the Malaysian Institute of Planners, talking to us about urban flood management.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.